Wigan is probably one of the highest concentrations of HMOs in the country. You know, in the last few years, it's been used as a bit of a dumping ground, if I'm honest with you. You know, since Labour took charge in 2024, we've had 72,000 people come in illegally. That's almost the same size as the Makerfield constituency, which is like around 78,000 in such a short period of time. You know, if you're going to come in the country legally, that's fine. You're welcome. You know, if you're going to come in and work and help us, by all means, come here and you're more than welcome. But if you're going to come here illegally, then you need to be deported, ultimately.
And Mr Kenyon had this to say to Mr Burnham.
In 2024, the last MP, Yvonne Favag, stepped down and they parachuted Josh Simons in from either Cambridge or Bury. I think it was between the two places. It was a time when Andy was running for Greater Manchester Mayor. Why didn't you choose Makerfield then, Andy? And I believe that, I think you've been looking at standing in Gorton and Denton. Someone said some other seats like Warrington and Bootle. Are we bottom of your list?
Well, clearly not. I live in the very edge of the constituency, and I've lived there for over 25 years, Rob.
Leila Cunningham, I wonder if the best option for anyone in Makerfield who wants to remove Keir Starmer from the top job, it's to vote for Andy Burnham, isn't it?
I don't think people are voting on... People in Makerfield are voting for Makerfield. Right. You know, they're voting.
But if you want to get rid of Keir Starmer, then Andy Burnham could potentially do that in a way that Robert Kenyon couldn't.
It's not about Keir Starmer. I think it's wanting to get rid of the Labour Party in itself. And people are voting for what's happening in Makerfield. You know, they see Rob, who's a fantastic plumber, I hear, by the way, who's a great guy. I spent a whole day campaigning with him. And they want someone who didn't just, you know, pick whatever seat's going, someone who actually lives and works in Makerfield, is raising his family there, and is a proper local champion and a success story.
You are a prominent campaigner against violence against women and girls and have made that part of your campaign in London. What did you make of him in that deleted Twitter account approving of another user saying about Carol Vorderman, and I apologise for the language, "My God, I'd love to smell and lick your arsehole"?
Those were unwise things. Did he say them or did he comment on it or repost it?
He liked somebody else saying it. As I said, he approved of another user saying that.
The thing is, I don't think people in Makerfield are sitting going through a social media troll.
I'm asking you what you think.
Yeah, I mean, those were unwise. Those are not things I would repost or like. But, I don't think Parliament should be for people who have said unwise things on social media. We wouldn't have anyone in Parliament. I think... who he is now, he's, as I said, he really is fantastic. I spent all day with him, and I wish there were more people like him in Parliament.
How concerned are you about Restore taking votes from your right in the same way that Reform used to take votes from the Conservatives?
We're not worried. I mean, as I said, I campaigned there all day. I actually didn't knock on one door, and I knocked on a lot who did say they're going to vote Restore. People were very clear about why this by-election was called. It was for Andy Burnham to become Prime Minister. It wasn't for Makerfield.
So there's no concern at all that they might split the vote on the right?
No, because we are a party waiting for government. You know, we have thousands of councillors. I think Restore has 9. We're not worried about them, no.
OK. Do you think that Mr Farage's call for pure coal rage in response to the murder of Henry Novak has helped your campaign in Makerfield?
I think Nigel Farage named an anger that all of us felt when we saw that video.
And is it helping, would you say?
I don't think it's helping or not. He didn't say that for the by-election. He felt that because he was voicing an anger that we all felt. It wasn't for the purpose of helping or not helping.
Right.
It makes feel that, you know, I think most people who saw that video, I mean, I did, I found it unbearable to watch. And I did feel a cold rage watching it. I mean, I've always...
It's just when you look at, if you look at the opinion poll, the way he responded, according to a poll of 2,000 adults last week, was the least popular out of all the main party leaders.
Well, I mean, there was a pylon on his reaction, I found, from the political class and the press. You know, for 48 hours we discussed...
But this was about the responses of all the party leaders, and his was the least popular.
No, I understand. it was framed in such a way... But I think actually Nigel was speaking for the people, and the word he used was something that we all felt. I don't think it's a politician's job to not speak how people speak. I felt a rage in there. I don't think there's anything wrong with the word rage,
okay.
Because that's what we felt. And only in voicing that anger will something change.
Nigel Farage hasn't held a press conference for 40 days since details of his $5 million gift from his billionaire crypto friend in Thailand was reported in April. Why not?
There's been an election. We just won. Nigel's been on the road for the local elections for months, you know, sleeping in hotels every night, speaking to people. He's out there speaking to people, something that other leaders are not. And I think that's why we did so well. People recognize that Nigel is not there to pontificate with the political class. He's there to represent the people. He's there speaking on the streets. And actually, you know what he told me? He told me he learned a lot about the frustrations and the concerns. And you really only learn what people feel when you speak to them directly. It's not really through focus groups. It's not through polling. And Nigel, I will say, is the only leader who's gone round the country and done that because he genuinely has an interest, a curiosity. There are no assumptions with Nigel. He genuinely wants to do and listen to what people feel.
Nigel Farage said that $5 million he got was to pay for his personal security. He got the cash in April 2024. He was elected MP for Clacton in July 2024. And yet in September 2024, he said he couldn't hold in-person surgeries for his constituents in Clacton because of safety concerns. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense, though. He had all that money to spend on security.
I mean, there's being risk averse, right? Nigel has death threats. I think no matter how much security you have, you are still under threat.
I mean,
JFK was killed with a huge motorcade. You're always susceptible if someone really wants to kill you, and they do, and he always gets the threats. I think why put yourself in a position where you endanger your life?
So you don't see any contradiction in those statements?
No, I don't see any contradiction. He has security for his everyday life, and they assess that the security risk of holding surgeries was too great to hold them. I think that's just a normal security assessment.
OK. Mick Lynch, what's your assessment of how this contest is playing out in Makerfield?
Well, I haven't got any greater insight. I think it's down to the ground game. A lot of media people like to think it's social media, it's these interviews. They will have an effect. But the Labour Party has got to get out there, get amongst working class people and tell them that the future under Burnham will be different to the future under Starmer.
I mean, they're all doing a lot of door knocking.
Yeah,
that's
the job you've got to do, I'm afraid. That's how elections are won and lost.
Yeah.
And they've got to tell you that they're a different. It's a different brand. It's a different prospect under Burnham, and I think they can succeed in that if they reconnect with where working people are. Now, the TUC has done a lot of polling about reform voters, and when you take the politics off and talk about policies, public ownership, council housing, investment in our services, reform voters in general are majority old Labour voters.
Well, did you see that poll in the Sunday Times by JLP?
Yeah, I saw that.
Which suggested that trade union members are as likely to support reform as they are Labour.
Yeah, I've heard about that. But
Well, why?
Well, that's the outcome of that poll. The polling that we've done in the trade union circles, when you get down to the policies themselves, it's an old Labour agenda, a social democratic agenda, if you like, in the traditional Labour platform. Burnham has got to turn to that platform to make sure that working class people are properly represented and they have hope in what the government is doing.
Right.
But Mick,
that question though, why do you think it is that trade union members are as likely to support reform as Labour?
Well, that's not my experience.
Okay,
and we'll have to see how that plays out.
Well, looking at that poll, why do you think that is?
Because I think people are working people first and trade union second. And I think working people are recognising that they're working so hard and they're not getting ahead. You know, the government's taking more of their taxes and you can't get a GP appointment. The streets aren't safe. The borders aren't safe. You know, their children can't buy housing.
You were going to raise the personal threshold to 20 grand and then you turned on that. So you're not going to help in that respect.
I mean, I think policy changes all the time to adapt to the economic situation. But I think fundamentally, people don't vote on the old lines, Labour or Conservative. They vote on issues. And the issue right now is that there's no growth in the economy. People are working so hard and they see that the welfare state is growing and people are being punished and not rewarded for going out there and working.
As a Labour man, are you pleased that Restore could end up splitting the vote on the right?
I don't think it's about them. I think it's about Labour getting their platform together. What happens in the right-wing factions is up to them. You've got the hard right, militant right in Reform, and the ultra-right under the other party. Reform's going to find that harder because as they try to appeal to the centre to consolidate their vote, they're going to have to try and stretch their blanket to cover these ultra-right nationalists that are represented by Rupert Lowe, they're all despicable as far as I'm concerned, and working-class people should turn away from them.
They should
turn away from the hatred that is being spread.
What hatred,
especially,
hatred?
Nigel Farage has spent his time spreading hatred in
this
country.
Name one thing.
Your party believes in mass deportations
of illegal
of people
migrants
living in this country.
What's the problem?
No, you said of people that are not illegal migrants, of any economic migrant that is living, is getting the benefit of the welfare system.
But because there is a fundamental principle, and you tell me if you believe it.
So if you get unemployed as an immigrant, you're going to be deported.
Do you believe in this fundamental principle that social housing and benefits should be for the British people? Do you believe that?
And the British people includes people that live here that have come from abroad.
Do you believe they are British people? Well, they're not British. If they are not British nationals, they are not British. Do you believe that
fundamentally, do you believe that
British trade unions who work hard should be paying for people who have just arrived to live in social housing?
What we believe pay for each other. Through a fair tax system.
In which country
where
can
wealth
I...
wealth is distributed properly so that all people can advance.
But
you believe in isolating people and taking advantage of poverty so that you can divide them and make your friends even richer.
I don't even understand what you said. We fundamentally believe in one principle, that perhaps this is why you're losing votes, is that when people elect you, they are there to serve the British people and no one else.
Okay.
And British, well, British public servants...
built the NHS. They brought in education, the welfare state, and they progressed this country rehoused millions of people during a crisis. Reform will cut all of those things. You'll cut our NHS, you'll privatise
you
will get rid of the Employment Rights Act, because you have called us, trade unionists, a cancer in this society.
Why do you have to spread lies to win your argument? That is not our policy, and you know it very well, and you and Labour Party have to spread lies to win the argument. Let's keep the conversation honest, Mick. Let's keep it how it is. We are the only party that believe that the government should serve the British people first and foremost, and if British people are working,
political parties believe
no,
that.
No, they don't. Okay. You don't.
I'm just going to remind our audience that before June the 18th, we'll be hearing from the other parties, some of the other parties contesting the Makerfield by-election.